Next on BYUSN, the Cougars come up short in overtime at Utah on Saturday. What happened? Is it time to change expectations for this team? Blaine Fowler on how fixable the Cougars' issues are right now. Who the go-to guy should be down the stretch.
Switching gears to football, where will BYU land in tomorrow's final AP poll? We'll call our shot. And who's the best Cougar in the pros right now across all sports? Which former Cougar made their case yesterday?
Welcome to a busy BYU Sports Nation presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Monday, January 20th. A lot going on today. I'm Jeremy Jordan alongside BYU TV scheduling coordinator Jason Shepard.
Yeah, lots happening right now. We've got the inauguration of President Trump going on literally right now. You've got Martin Luther King Jr. Day. You got a national championship tonight. We've got hits and sticks tonight. BYU gymnastics, like what, quad meet?
Yes. And our crew is doing two quad meets
tonight.
One on ESPN Plus, one on BYU TV, and ESPN Plus.
Yeah, there is a lot
going on. That's where Spencer is today.
That is why Spencer, he's getting prepared.
He didn't take the Utah loss that hard to where he didn't want to be on.
Look, let's be honest. We all took it hard, okay? There is a lot going on today.
Yeah, so I'm glad that you, as the BYU TV scheduling coordinator, was like, let's go head-to-head with inauguration.
Yep, head-to-head because...
And then gymnastics
nobody
quad
be tuning
meet.
Into that, right?
and then quad meet for gymnastics going head-to-head with the college football playoff. We can do it! We can have just a few more zeros than they get in audience, but we'll see what happens today. A lot going on. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Richie Saunders. Chance for the win. Demon way offline. And Utah hangs on. Overtime win.
I think that's an accurate description of what it sounded like at the end because we just tuned it out. What's Trending? Presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. BYU Men's Hoops loses 73-72 in overtime at Utah. Here's what head coach Kevin Young had to say about the loss after the game.
Everyone's mad. You know, everyone's disappointed. Big game, rivalry game. You know, you wanted to win it. So everybody's disappointed.
Kevin Young said, and Foos looked, like I think we all felt after that game. Just depressed, disappointed, mad, all the emotions shep. So let's break it down. What happened Saturday night at Utah?
Yeah, I don't honestly know if you can pinpoint one thing. It was a combination of things. It was not shooting the ball well enough. It was turnovers, late turnovers. It was missing free throws. I know that, look, not saying it's the reason that BYU lost, but the fact that Utah went to the line a lot more also played into this. Yep. I mean, BYU, even with all the extra free throws that Utah took and made, BYU still had a chance. It wasn't because of foul calls. And I know that's getting a lot of run right now. It was so many different things. And look, at no point this year did I think Utah would have a better conference record than BYU. It was very surprising that things turned out the way they did Saturday night.
Let's quantify what you just said about the free throws. I had not actually looked at that number until right this second. Utah shot 22 more free throws. They made 13 more. Mm-hmm. That's a huge story.
Yeah, it's not a non-story. But BYU still, even with that, had a chance to be able to win the game.
Unfortunately, that's been some rhetoric we've been discussing, which is BYU's not far off from being much better than they are. And that's sort of the good news in this, but it's not exciting or fun to talk about the good news after a loss to Utah, a Utah team you feel like you should beat. BYU did it again like last year. They shot poorly from the field, 38%. Both teams shot 26%. Percent from three. They were terrible. Gabe Mattson was 1 of 11 for Utah. 4 of 10 from the line for BYU. Certainly late. Trevin Nell has an opportunity to make the front end of a 1-1 and make 2 and give BYU the lead. He does not, unfortunately. And it's tough, man. Utah made Ezra Osra look like an All-American out there. The interior defending from BYU was poor. Asar and Lovering scored 39 with the 73. I felt like Foos and Cato were not getting beat badly like that, but as a team, They got in certain mismatches that were tough. And then BYU was fouling on purpose to get the right guys at the line, and they were missing free throws. And it gave BYU an opportunity here. It is tough when Hall, Catchings, Demon combined for 14 points on 5 of 23. That's tough. BYU, generally speaking, took care of the ball, though. But at the end, there were some turnovers that were significant, right? Being out-rebounded, that's what BYU does best, by the way. Rebounding margin, BYU was out-rebounded by 3. Not a ton of flow on offense. That works if you've got individual greatness. But BYU did not have that on Saturday. So, more end-of-game issues. We've seen that Ole Miss, Texas Tech, TCU, Utah. It's a close game that BYU has lost. And Kevin Young said BYU's got to figure out how to win them.
We got to learn how to win close games. You know, we're right there in all these games. We've got a chance to win. I just told our club in there, you know, you win and lose games on the margins, you know, in close games. And, you know, we've come up short and too many times, you know, and that's disappointing.
When Yegor Demon grabs, even after everything, Yegor Demon grabs the rebound with 5 seconds left. Mm-hmm. He's got time for 4 dribbles if he races up.
Right.
I didn't feel like he was on his horse enough. Like, he was getting up to speed to get to the rim. Unfortunately, takes kind of a fadeaway right to left off 1 foot 3, and that's not going to go in that often. So that was a tough way to finish it. By the way, KenPom nailed it. They said Utah by 1. And it was like, oh, man, I did not see, 1, Utah winning, and 2, BYU shooting as poorly as they did, and again, not executing. I thought BYU would come up with an answer, and they got it to OT, and then unfortunately didn't win it.
Yeah, look, this was a game we all expected BYU to win. This was a game I had penciled in as a clear W. And like I said, I at no point this season did I ever think, and even if it's just by 1 game right now, that Utah would have a better conference record than BYU basketball. I never thought it would happen. I still am not buying them long term in terms of Utah.
Yeah.
The other part about it is BYU caught them in a nice little stretch for them right now, because now they've won 3 in a row. They had the win at home over Oklahoma State, where they worked the Cowboys at home. Mm-hmm. And then they go on the road to TCU and get the surprising win over the Horned Frogs. And I think that was the win that kind of gave them a lot of confidence coming back home against BYU. And so, unfortunately, BYU kind of caught them at the right time. But here's my feeling. If BYU plays its normal game or plays up to its potential, doesn't really matter if Utah has one of their good games, because I think BYU's still better. It didn't play out that way. Utah was better down the stretch on Saturday night, and that's why they beat BYU. But I do want to go to something that Coach Young talked about, and talked about the close games. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things involved in what that means in terms of close games, and it's protecting the basketball and not turning it over and valuing possessions. The other thing is, and I think this is probably something that they're still trying to figure out, because Coach Young has talked to Greg Rubel on pregame. I know he's talked to Spencer and on postgame and things like that, that he's still trying to figure out those combinations that work. And sometimes that is a substitution thing. But also down the stretch, when you need a bucket, who do you go to? Who's the guy that when we absolutely positively need a score, that's the guy we're going to? I think they're still trying to figure that out. And I think that plays into losing some of these close games, because right now still, I don't know if they've found that answer yet. They're still trying to figure it out.
BYU was going to the all-time leading field goal percentage leader in program history quite a bit. That would be Foose. Dallin Hall has a history of game winners that we can cite, notably Creighton, Kansas, Missouri State stick out. There were some others too. You know, not every end of game situation goes your way, not even for the likes of Michael Jordan and so on and so forth. But, you know, I just at that point, I would have loved Yegor just to get to the rim, because at 6'9", like, he 4 dribbles from that, he could get to the rim. He's that long, and once he gets up to speed, maybe they call a foul because they had called a million already. That would have been nice. But, yeah, to your point, as we zoom out a little bit, BYU needs to figure out who the go-to guy is. Are they going to do it? We're 17 games in. Are they going to do it? Do they need it? They probably need it. I don't know who it's going to be. If I had a default guy, I would say put the ball in Dallin Hall's hands. BYU did not have a timeout off that rebound. Mm-hmm. Yegor could have thrown it over to Dallin to leak up, but I think Yegor should have just run with it all the way in Danny Ainge-like fashion.
Sure.
And get to the rim, and we remember this all-time Yegor Demon moment. That would have been great. Kevin Young also commented on his first experience in the BYU-Utah rivalry.
It's a good game, hard-fought game. I think two well-coached teams. Craig's a good coach, does a good job. Good environment. I didn't hear anything, kind of over the line as far as, you hear all kinds of horror stories. My kids thought they were walking into a UFC fight. They were, like, scared to come up here. And so I thought it was classy on Utah's part, hard-fought game, and will make me hungry to play them again for sure.
Kevin Young must have not heard everything. March 8th in the Marriott Center is the next meeting, which should be a lot of fun. And, when BYU plays Utah, there are butts in seats. But check out every other game. It feels like no one's there. So it was one of those battles, and Utah ends up winning, which is disappointing. And BYU's got some stuff to figure out. And they're at Colorado Tuesday, Shep, a team that's 0-6 in league.
Yes. It's a game BYU needs to win, and I feel like when a team's struggling shooting the basketball, just seeing one go in can sort of change the outlook. I feel like just sort of snapping this little funk right now.
Well, they did against Oklahoma State Tuesday.
Yes, we were hoping
that would lead to a win streak.
But you're still trying to get over that hump.
I guess
from
the road
a consistency
thing,
standpoint, yes.
Is the road thing a real thing?
Well,
it's hard to argue against it.
It is so far.
0-4.
But if you can get one of those,
you can put some of the
negativity behind. And
that
like,
wasn't
okay,
a foul, by
we
the way.
You can build off of this.
Yep.
And look, you get one, and then you build from there. But tomorrow night in Boulder, that's a massive game.
Yeah, BYU. If BYU is going to make the NCAA tournament, you can't lose tomorrow night. You cannot.
Okay, so that leads right into the next question here. Is it time to adjust expectations for this team this year?
It is. It is time. Rafiki said it. It is time. Before the season, I felt like BYU could make the Sweet 16. That's what I predicted. That is off for me. Right now, I'm hoping this team makes the tourney. Because the way they're trending right now, I'm not just talking about Utah. I'm talking about the last couple weeks and 2-4 in Big 12 play. It's not looking great. We're waiting for this team to turn a corner. We're still waiting. We're still hopeful. But I'm going to take the pressure off. I'm not expecting them to make a Sweet 16, okay? If they do get to the tourney, they win two games, that's great! But right now, they're in a little bit of a funk. 0-5 in Quad 1 games. BYU does not have a Quad 1 win. If the season ended today, they would not be in the tourney. They've got some work to do. Now, the good news in the Big 12, and the bad news, is you play this really tough schedule.
Right.
But you have opportunities to get right. This week is big for BYU. They've got to beat Colorado on the road. Then I think they need to beat Cincinnati at home. Cincinnati's played a tough schedule to start. I think they got their first win over the weekend, 1-4 in league, something like that. Yes, three of the games that BYU has played in Quad 1 were decided by five or less, but there aren't many signs that this team is sort of taking steps forward, getting better, learning on that upward trajectory. With that said, things can change quickly.
Yeah.
BYU could play great Tuesday night, which I expect them to. They get a big win. Saturday, if you beat Cincinnati at home, you're feeling good. Then you need to play a tough Baylor team, who just lost to TCU, by the way. Baylor doesn't look like they're a world beater. Heck, neither does BYU. So things can change quickly. You've got to beat Colorado. You've got to take care of Cincinnati. And then Ken Pom right now expecting BYU to be 18-13, 9-11 in league. If you get two wins in Kansas City, you're on the bubble,
yep.
And you might be on the inside of that. It would certainly be disappointing if this team does not end up making the NCAA tournament. You've certainly had a very good response from the fan base and donors and the collectives and whatnot of being competitive and getting BYU to where they have some really good talent and really good veterans. BYU spent some money. And so they need to deliver, right? You got a first-year head coach. You got some young freshmen. You got some vets still trying to piece together with this situation. It's not what we wanted
right at
this point. But that can change quickly. The hope is that this week it does. But in terms of what I expect for this BYU team, I'm more in the wait-and-see situation of, okay, we know that they've got talent. We've talked about it ad nauseum. Can they deliver on that? We absolutely think and hope they will. And it's got to start Tuesday, because if it doesn't tomorrow night, when's it going to start?
Yeah, and you brought up something that I think it's really important for people to remember is this isn't like BYU still in the WCC where you only get an opportunity to play one or two good teams.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to have opportunities to make jumps
yes.
with wins along the way. And there's still enough of this conference
yes.
season
yes.
left that you can change the trajectory pretty quickly.
Just right now, that trajectory is not looking good.
Yes.
That's discouraging.
You go through some of these losses, and let's be honest. If BYU were to have lost a game Saturday night and it just wasn't Utah, you'd still be upset, but you wouldn't feel like you do today because it wasn't Utah. Because it's Utah, it makes it feel worse.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's just make sure we're all on the same page with that.
If the cost of winning in football, like BYU did, was this, it's okay.
Yeah.
We'll get over it. But it wasn't. You could have won both. You also could have lost both. Like, it was nice to win in football in the way that BYU did and have the meltdown on the hill. That was fantastic.
See, my expectations.
And let's just say up front, that game was not stolen from BYU, and BYU is still excited to be in the Big 12. I just wanted to
clarify. We're always excited to be in the Big 12. That never changes. So, look, okay, so you said that your expectations were Sweet 16?
Preseason, they
okay,
were.
Okay, so for me, my expectations were get to the NCAA tournament, win a game.
Yeah.
That was my expectation.
How are you feeling now?
I don't know if it's really changed. Now, I think what's maybe changed is the conference record. I thought BYU would probably have a conference record above 500. Right now, I think.
So 4-2 instead of 2-4.
Yeah, maybe at this point, now looking out, maybe you adjust it to being 500 in conference play.
Wait, you thought they might be.
They would have a winning conference record. Excuse me.
Gotcha.
So a winning conference record. So now, you know, now maybe you go 10-10.
Oh, okay.
So
Spence and I are probably a game below that because we were 10-10 to start. 9-11 at this point with the way BYU's playing, I feel like would be pretty good.
But I still think that even at 9-11 or 10-10, or if they really get on a run, and obviously you can still get to the NCAA tournament and win a game. So for me, expectations, I don't know if that necessarily changes. Because for me, I just wanted this team to get into the NCAA tournament, win a game, because we always talk about that, and it's been such a long time since they've done that, this program. And then see what happens. Once you win the first game in the NCAA tournament, then it's sort of open for why can't we be Cinderella? So I don't know if my expectations have ultimately changed that much.
Yeah, I don't like where BYU's headed, but that doesn't mean they're going to head that way forever. Tuesday night, better get a win against Colorado, and then keep it going. The sort of figuring it out is just taking a little longer than we thought.
Right.
That's where we're at, let's be honest. Our question of the day is this: how have your expectations for BYU men's basketball changed? Maybe they haven't at all. But what are you saying? Here's what the people are saying. Mark Tenney on X: I'm still waiting for them to figure it out. They don't have an identity and they don't have a go-to scorer. They have some exciting pieces, but they aren't a team yet. It is taking a moment. Last year's team was truly a team because they had suffered the year before, not even made the NIT. That was pathetic to not make the NIT at BYU. It was pathetic. But then they responded great. Can this team midseason respond? Can they figure it out together?
You remember what A-Rod said now two seasons ago, when he talked about they brought in so many new guys and they underestimated how challenging that was going to be to implement everybody, and then they sort of course corrected this year and didn't bring in as many guys because they wanted the continuity.
And they still haven't brought in that many guys.
Maybe we're seeing that right now, that it's just taking time with so many new pieces. It's taking more time than what they originally thought.
Too much turnover equals trouble, probably, in that regard. So continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right, college football national championship game tonight.
Oh,
remember that? Remember, we still have one more college football game.
It's going away though after tonight. I'm so sad.
So you've got Ohio State. You've got Notre Dame, Ryan Day versus Lou Holtz. No.
Lou Holtz. Notre Dame's going to win the ball game tonight.
Who you got winning the national championship
Ohio
tonight?
State, 8.5-point favorite. Yeah. Hard not to go
that
with
that. Surprised
the Buckeyes.
Me that it's that high.
Big number. If Notre Dame's going to win, it feels like they have to have special teams and defense really show up. Like, score. They have 3 block kicks. They have 6 defensive touchdowns. 6! Like, that's a crazy number, right? And then Riley Leonard, he's not like a deep thrower. He's a run guy and throw short passes guy. If Notre Dame has some of the non-offensive touchdowns in the mix and influence, perhaps they can hang. I don't see Notre Dame winning tonight. I would love it.
Yeah.
I would love it. Everyone's handed Ohio State the ship already. So we'll see what happens, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ohio State, hard not to pick them.
I want and will be rooting for Notre Dame to win, but I believe it will be Ohio State. And that hurts me because I'm not a huge Ohio. I've never been like anti until Urban Meyer went there, and so any school that's associated with
the
Urban
rivalry.
Meyer, I just can't get behind.
So Bowling Green,
so Florida. Utah, Florida, the Jaguars.
What is nice? What is, Riley Leonard said something, was it last week, about like, yeah, we're the two universities that are like very public about our faith. And we're like, we're right here, Riley. What are you doing? Okay, call your shot. Tomorrow we're going to have the AP poll, the final one in football. Where will BYU finish?
Okay. All right. I got this number. It just came to me.
It just came to you? You hadn't thought about it till now?
No, that's a lie. 12.
Oh, that's what I say too. 12. We love 12 around here. 12 tribes, 12 apostles, big 12. We love 12.
Dozen? I like it.
Dozen,
we did not discuss that either, but no. we both landed on 12.
Okay, let's talk about it. So every BYU is 17 in the AP poll. Only Ole Miss at 16, and obviously Ohio State at 6, Notre Dame at 3. Didn't end on a loss.
Right.
Because playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to lose, but like one team
sure.
at the end. So I don't think BYU flies up to the top 10, but number 12
yeah.
feels right. Last season, BYU finished top 12. That wasn't the COVID year, 2020. Mm-hmm. Was 2009. Before that, 96. Finishing top 12 would be amazing.
Yeah.
And it would set BYU up for next season.
Yes,
the hope
that's
is they're
important.
Top 16.
Yes.
And then they can build should they have a similar season.
See, I also think there's something to the fact that that after all the bowl games were done, and certainly after BYU's, and you kind of saw how everything else played out, it was like, yeah, BYU probably deserved a shot.
They looked
pretty
good.
They're like, yeah, I'm like, they're going to end up top 12.
Hopefully.
You know what I mean? For like college football playoff, you get the 12 teams. Like, they're gonna put you in the top 12, so it reflects probably where you should have been.
I think it's 14 for sure.
Oh, for sure.
12's
oh.
ambitious.
Yeah, I'll be shocked if it's out of the 14.
But BYU's like 9. We're like, yes.
Look, I don't know if that's insane. I think it would be surprising to be in top 10, but this is a team that deserves to be ranked as high as possible, and like you said, then set themselves up for next year when you're bringing so many people back.
I have one goal with that, higher than Indiana.
Okay, like it.
Yeah,
I like it. All right, Connor Mance set the record for the American Half Marathon over the weekend at 59.17. Is he the best Cougar in the pros right now?
Fred Warner probably is a middle linebacker, the best backer in football. But Connor Mance is making an absolute name for himself. AJ DeBonsa could be this in a couple years, by the way. Connor Mance is the Ken Jennings of marathon. Ashley Hatch a couple years ago
was leading the
NWSL, won the league. That was pretty good, too. But Connor Mance, crush it, man. Shout out.
Look, I love Connor Mance, but, I mean, there is an Andy Reid out there right now who just picked up win number 300. He's winning Super Bowls. Andy Reid may be the answer.
If Ed Eystone is Connor's coach, isn't Ed Eystone the answer to this instead of Connor Mance?
There you go.
Huh? Mm. Congrats to Andy on 300th win.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty awesome.
All right, BYU Gymnastics in Best of Utah meet tonight against Utah, Utah State, and Southern Utah. You can watch beginning at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and on ESPN+.
Shout out to Spence, who's doing two quad meets on ESPN+, and then one on BYU TV.
I worked my quads earlier today.
Come on, man. Coming up, Blaine Fowler on what happened against Utah and how fixable are BYU's issues right now. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
BYU now 2-4 in Big 12 play.
I was hoping at this point they would be just killing it.
We got all this awesome stuff. It's just going to take a little while.
You got to learn how to win close games.
And in the end, as long as BYU plays well in March,
that's what matters most.
Luckily, it's not March. Still have time to figure some things out. We are live in Studio B on MLK Day with your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play. Jerem Jordan alongside Jason Shepherd. Blaine Fowler now joins us on Zoom from his casa. Blaine, welcome to the program. Always disappointing to talk about a loss to Utah, but here we are. We enjoyed the football win, and now in overtime, BYU loses 73-72. In your opinion, what happened on the Hill on Saturday night?
It's been a consistent theme on the road this year is BYU just don't shoot the ball on the road. They're just not the same team on the road shooting the basketball that they are at home. And they got on their heels at times against Utah. We're also seeing against teams that are really aggressive downhill with the basketball. And BYU's learning this new defense. I keep waiting for the light bulb to come on and for them to be just nails in this defense. But when you're just a little bit late to the gaps or you're a little bit late on rotations, you foul. And, you know, I will say that it seemed in overtime didn't seem like it was a balanced foul calling. But when you look at it in the course of the game, you have to take into account that Utah was playing more aggressively. They were playing more downhill. They were attacking the rim more. They're going to get to the free throw line more. And BYU's got to figure out how to guard better without fouling. And I think that comes down to better understanding where they're supposed to be, anticipating, getting quicker to their gaps, getting quicker on the rotations when they've got to help, so that their feet are in position to play defense and they don't have to reach and they don't, you know, they don't come late to try to block a shot and end up fouling. I mean, that's been a big problem. And it seems like that consistently has not been as good on the road. So to me, it's all about the road. Now you go up to Utah. It's a rivalry game. That's not lost on anybody. They're playing with pressure. And frankly, the veteran guys have to show up and they have to shoot the basketball and they have to calm this team down and they have to communicate. And some of those elements were missing in that game.
All right, Blaine. So how fixable are the issues that are plaguing BYU right now? And if you believe they are fixable, how quickly are they fixable?
It's one of those things where they should be fairly fixable in fairly rapid fashion, if that makes sense. Because to me, a lot of it is mental stuff. A lot of it is confidence. They're confidence issues. I see especially the young players on the road. They seem to be rushing shots, not taking their time. And there's a difference between playing fast and playing in a hurry. And at times they feel like, especially on the road, especially the young guys, that they're playing in a hurry. They're rushing shots. They're trying to get them off too quick. Oh, this is my shot. I got to get it out there. Instead of just going through the same motions they do in practice, taking their time, making the extra pass, and getting a good shot. So calming down, that's something that's a mindset. And it's hard to know. Sometimes the light bulb just comes in one game. Like, Yegor may come out of his shooting slump in one game. There may be a game where all of a sudden he just takes a deep breath and starts to knock down a few shots. He sees a few go through the bucket, and then it's over. Then the slump is over. On the defensive side, I think that's about confidence. They need to just trust each other, and they need to more confidently, instead of thinking, they need to say, hey, okay, this is the game. I just am going to react. So I know this is where I'm supposed to be. When I see the defender come off the ball screen, this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to get in that gap. When that guy puts the ball on the floor, I'm going to get to that gap. I'm going to rotate right now, and I'm going to trust it. It's like a mindset. And to me, it's almost like the light bulb can go on overnight at times if they could play with a little more confidence. And I think they play with a bit of a lack of confidence on the road. And when you're talking about mental things, it's hard to predict when they overcome it. You know, it's hard to say, hey, it's going to be this next game on the road against Colorado. But I do think there are things that they can talk about. And I think collectively these guys need to make a decision that we're just going to play with confidence. And we're going to play fast, but not in a hurry. And we might make a few mistakes, but we're going to play mentally at a faster pace and trust what we're doing. And we'll live with the mistakes.
Tomorrow night at Colorado for BYU, big game. Colorado 0-6 in league, BYU 2-4. Certainly BYU needs a win there. Ken Pom saying this is going to be a two-point game. I mean, that's wild. I never would have thought that'd be the case. But certainly tomorrow against Colorado, you hope BYU gets things right, like you said. And even if they do, Blaine, they still have to kind of keep it going, right? Because Tuesday we felt like, hey, stop the three-game losing streak. You beat Oklahoma State. You weathered a storm in the game. That's all great. But then at Utah happened. So what do you need to see this week at Colorado and home versus a good Cincinnati team to feel like, okay, BYU's heading in the right direction?
Yeah, I want to see better defensive rotations and more stops without fouling. But I want to see guys shoot the ball with confidence and take their time. Their time, especially when we're on the road, where I feel like it's just, I look at their faces and it almost seems like it's painful on their faces. Like they're not having a good time because they're starting to press a little bit at certain times in games, right? And most importantly, I want to see him finish a game because it very well could be a close game at Colorado. BYU's been in a bunch of these close games, and sometimes I feel like you've got to win one of those or a couple of those, especially win one on the road, where you feel like, oh, yeah, we can win these things, and this is the combination of what needs to happen. They also kind of have to find and make a decision, who's going to be the guy going down the stretch with a ball in his hands that is either going to make the shot or make the right decision. Now, going into the season, I thought it would be Dallin Hall. And then Dallin had the injury that cost him a bunch of camp in the beginning of the season. And then when he came back, I thought, oh, it can still be Dallin Hall. Richie Saunders has emerged as kind of the guy that goes out and makes plays and wants to have the ball in his hands in a big time. But up at Utah, you know, he went 6 of 16, so it was a struggle shooting the ball for him. Still produced double-digit points and 7 boards. So it's kind of become Richie Saunders, but it can't just always be Richie Saunders because guys will try to shut him down. So I would really like to see Dallin Hall step up in this game on the road, be more aggressive, attack the paint, get 2 feet in the paint, distribute, finish, shoot confidently, and kind of take the pressure off of these young guys. I've always felt like it could be him. I think he has the talent. I think he has the physicality to do it. And so I'm looking for Dallin to step it up and turn a corner in this Colorado game. And if he steps it up and turns the corner, and he can be an equal contributor with Richie on that guard line with a ball in his hands, I will feel much better about the rest of the season if we can see him do that.
How much more confident do you feel in BYU's ability to be able to jump right back into this quickly simply because they play in the Big 12 now and there will be ample opportunities to pick up some big wins along the way?
That's the beauty of this league. I mean, we all know that. Like, you can have a slump and lose 4 or 5 and come back and go on a little run and immediately right back in the conversation. If you get to 500 in this league, you're a single-digit seed. Mm-hmm. Like, think about that. In the WCC, we used to just sit there biting our nails at the end of the season and going, oh, my word, if they finish in third place, there's zero chance for them to get in the league, right, or get into the tournament. And you know, some years when St. Mary's and the Zags were really good, you felt like maybe is the third place team you could get in. In this league, 500 is a single-digit seed. And so you don't even have to get back to 500. You could be a game or two below 500. And so there's still hope. And that's why there's so much to still play for. And they've been in games all year long. I mean, we haven't been watching a series of blowouts here. They have had chances down the stretch to win multiple of these games. They have to figure out how to play with composure. They have to figure out who are alpha dogs, plural, not just one, that are going to carry us down the stretch and make all the right decisions. Are we going to make free throws down the stretch and win a couple of these close ones? And then everything changes. Everything immediately changes because in this league, it does not take much to climb right back in it and be talking about the NCAA tournament again.
That's certainly the hope, which brings us to this. We were talking about expectations. Have they changed for this team through the first 6 games in conference play for you?
Well, they've changed a little bit. To me, like, I thought they should go win that Utah game. They're just slightly below what I expected because everybody just thought, hey, Yegor Demenkin and Catchings come in here. We're going to be phenomenal with the core of guys they have coming back. But we've covered this league, you guys, all through last year. We know how good the league is. And we all know that when talent meets experience, which a bunch of these teams have, that's when you compete for championships. And young guys are great with great talent, but it takes some time. It gives me hope that down the stretch, the light bulb goes on for Yegor, that Cannon figures out his role and calms down with his shot. That Dallin reemerges as a guy that's going to be consistent every single night and that they can be really, really good down the stretch. So they're only a game and maybe 2 games below my expectations at this point. So they haven't terribly fallen off. Now, I expect them to go beat Colorado on the road. I expect them to win that game, and I expect them to come back and beat Cincinnati. If they lose these two, that's when my expectations might change a little bit. So I still hold out hope. They're probably a game, maybe 2 games behind where I thought they'd be at this point, because I knew that they were young guys, and I knew that even the veteran guys, just like Jay Hill's defense in year 1 on football, And with all the transfers in football on the offensive side, seven starters that were transferred. So new faces and a brand new defense. 2 years ago, football wins five games. Basically the same core of guys come back the next year and they know what they're doing and they have this phenomenal season. That's why I was more realistic with my goal for this team. So they're slightly behind, but you guys know, we all know that in this league, you can get going on a little bit of a roll and you're right back in the conversation about the NCAA tournament. And to me, just to make the NCAA tournament this year with new faces and a brand new staff and a brand new offense and a brand new defense, to make the NCAA tournament for me was all I was hoping for.
All right, Blaine, you brought up football, so let's wrap things up with a football question. Both Jerem and I answered this in the last segment, so we're not going to tell you what we said unless you saw the segment and okay. Then you already know.
No, I did. I was trying to figure out technology.
Why aren't you watching, Blaine? That hurts our feelings. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Technology was killing me. It was killing me.
Okay, where do you expect BYU football to land in the final AP poll tomorrow? We'll see if you're on the same page with Jerem and I.
I'll tell you where I expect them to be, and I'll tell you where I think they should be.
Okay.
I expect them to be around 12.
12. That's it. That's what we said.
That's what we said.
You said 12?
We both said 12.
Yeah.
Ah, but where do I think they should be? I think they should be at number 10.
That'd be awesome. So I don't think it's going to happen, but that'd be great.
They got a lot of respect with that win against Colorado from folks all over the country, and I think that gets them up to 12. I think with what they've got coming back and some surprise people coming back that we didn't know were coming back and a couple of transfers to fill holes. I mean, this team, I was just doing it last week. I went through and looked at every single position group. This team is loaded. So now you were asking about expectations. I have really high expectations for next year's football team. Really high.
Should we do that, though? Because it feels like when we do that, we get burned. So I don't know. That's a discussion for another day.
We'll have it another day, but I think they should be 10. My guess is 12.
Okay.
Okay.
He's on the record. Blaine, we appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, Blaine.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks for watching the opening segment, too. Just kidding. That would be great. Now, real quick, a thing Blaine mentioned. Return the core. You get better, you build. We're in the one-and-done phase of BYU basketball. You hope you return, at least half the roster, like BYU did this year.
Yeah.
But that hasn't quite worked, right? Is it going to work in these sort of, you're getting AJ DeBonsa, you're expecting him to be here. Can you cobble it together for 1 year and have success? That's what BYU's got to figure out because they're in a different era of the program now.
All right, BYU men's basketball on the road. We've mentioned it several times, taking on the Colorado Buffaloes. Pregame coverage begins at 10 p.m. Eastern time on BYU Radio.
Still to come, men's volleyball does it again. Cougars in the NFL. Chip's happy. Kalani Sitake already a Hall of Famer. And the latest from AJ DeBonsa, all ahead in headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and minus a couple of hours yesterday, TikTok.
Still there, I guess. Welcome to... We're not on Red Note or whatever. Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jeremy's Jason. Let's get to today's headlines.
BYU men's basketball falls to Utah. 73-72 in overtime in Salt Lake City on Saturday night.
Obligated to stay the same.
Richie Saunders, Fusine Troyer each
that
scored
block.
16 points for BYU and lost the Cougars. Now 11-6 on the season, including 2-4 in Big 12 games. They are 0-4 on the road. BYU gets an opportunity to bounce back tomorrow on the other side of the Rockies, taking on Colorado in Boulder.
There's some real pressure to win that game, man. He was going to do it, too. A.J. DeBonsa scored 25 for Utah Prep in a 74-60 loss to Montverde Academy yesterday in the Hoop Hall Classic in Springfield, Massachusetts. That was a huge game of two great teams in high school basketball. We'll be joined by A.J. on BYU Sports Nation later this week from Paris.
From Paris?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you guys just go to him and do the show from Paris?
Well, we were going to, but Spencer's got to call two quad meets.
All right. Cougars in the NFL playoffs. You say it with reverence. Andy Reid won his 300th career game on Saturday, leading the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs to a 23-14 win over the Houston Texans. The Chiefs will host the Bills in the AFC Championship game coming up this Sunday. Elsewhere, Puka Nacua.
Congrats, Chip.
Thank you so much. Puka Nacua, I did a lot in that game, caught six passes for 97 yards for the Rams in a 28-22 loss to the Eagles yesterday, ending Puka and the Rams season. Kyle Van Noy had three tackles and half of a sack for the Ravens in a 27-25 loss to the Bills last night, ending the season for the Ravens and KVN.
Dennis Pitta would have caught that two-point conversion.
The news not all bad for former Cougars, though. Michael Davis and the Commanders beat the Lions 45-31. What a shocking outcome.
Right?
They now advance to the NFC Championship game, traveling to Philly to take on the Eagles for a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Man, it's going to be a fun weekend. Congrats to BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake, who was inducted into the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame Saturday in La'i'e, Hawaii. Travis Hunter was there as well, by the way. So he gave him a Tongan name and said, "You're one of us now," which is pretty funny. Sitake joins three other former BYU players who were previously inducted into the Polynesian Hall of Fame, including Kurt Govea, Vaisa Kahema, and Reno Mahe. Pretty cool.
Former BYU cross-country and track and field standout Connor Mance shattered the American half marathon record by 26 seconds yesterday in Houston, running the 13.1 miles in 59 minutes and 17 seconds. Mance took second place overall in the race.
Came down to the finish!
While Clayton Young took 10th overall with a time of 1 hour and 52 seconds. Congratulations to both.
Why is the guy holding the ribbon like right next to them? They can't like extend it out? They're like almost bumped into him. What is that? Number 5 men's volleyball beat number 6 Ball State 15-9 in 5 sets Friday night. Second straight 5-set winner in Muncie, Indiana. Keone Thim, Luke Benson both had season highs with 23 kills respectively. They've been awesome. Cougars 6-0 for the first time since 2020 and play at number 3 UC Irvine this weekend. We're going to know, BYU's good. We're going to know just how good this weekend in Irvine. And then they come home for Hawaii, who's in the top 5 as well. Big couple of weeks for BYU.
BYU women's basketball's comeback effort came up short at Texas Tech over the weekend, falling to the Lady Raiders 70-65.
That was Lubbock.
Lubbock was not bad. I actually enjoyed the campus. Was amazing.
Nice.
I love the campus.
Never been.
Neither had I. It was very nice. After trailing by as many as 16, BYU cut the lead to 2 late in the fourth quarter. Freshman Delaney Gibb led the way for BYU at 22 points in the loss. Up next, traveling to Iowa State on Wednesday, I will have the call from Hilton Coliseum at 7:30 Eastern on BYU Radio. Supposed to be a high of 9 degrees.
A high of 9? It's not a high of 75. Gymnastics scored a 193-375 against Southern Utah Friday night in the home opener. BYU certainly can score a little higher. They'll get the chance tonight in the best of Utah. Meet against Utah State, Southern Utah. 8 Eastern time on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU men's tennis picked up their first win of the season in the home opener on Friday, beating Weber State 6-1.
And men and women swim and dive each picked up wins as Brigham defeated the Pioneers, which is a weird thing to say, of Denver on Senior Day. On the men's side, Darwin Anderson, Tanner Nelson each broke their own pool records in the 1,000 free and 200 free, respectively. 1,000 free? It's a lot of laps. On the women's side, Mackenzie Miller Lung, which is a great name for a swimmer, broke her own pool record in the 100 breaststroke. You finished what in state as a former swimmer at Kearns?
I didn't.
Okay. Coming up. Have your expectations for men's basketball changed?
But I did let her.
Nice. You got the jacket. More responses to our question of the day are on the way. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Inauguration Day, College Football National Championship Day, double quad meet for our
Jazz
crew.
Jazz Pelicans Day, Utah Hockey Club versus Winnipeg.
Oh, it's
day.
Not Winnipeg, it's Winnipeg.
I know, but
Winnipeg. Winnipeg what? Our question of the day, have your expectations for BYU men's basketball changed?
I don't know why I said it that way. I really don't.
Winnipeg, BYU. No, it is BYU, yeah. TJY_24 on Instagram. No, I believe they can still make the big dance. Now, that is the hope. Make the dance, make a run, figure it out. Because right now, it's January 20th. And you certainly can't just say, well, there's no shot, it's over. Right. Which, what's the opposite of a rise and shout out? To the people who only text me when BYU loses. I got a particular person in my life that does that. Stop doing that. Don't text me when things are just bad, okay?
Right, yeah.
That's
yeah.
really annoying.
The Debbie Downer?
Yeah. Well, it's annoying Aaron. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Dropping names.
No, not the name. We hope they can make the dance. It is January 20th.
Yes.
But you need to stack wins. Like, we can't sit here at 0-5 in quad one games and be like, everything's fine, they're going to figure it out. They have to figure it out if they're going to make the dance. And they've got opportunities in quad one and two to stack wins, and it starts tomorrow night.
Yeah, look, there's an opportunity, and quite honestly, all of the goals that – well, look, internal goals and then goals and expectations from outside usually are different.
They can differ.
So looking at expectations, I think everything that we all thought this team could accomplish is still right there, and that should give every BYU fan hope.
They just need to start doing it.
It's
a little late.
Yes.
And it's
– You're running out of time, but there is still time.
There are
but you're right.
14 conference
You've
games.
You got to speed it up a little bit. You got to find some of these answers quickly, and it starts against Colorado.
Yeah, you have to beat.
Yeah.
You have to beat them tomorrow. Tormian on X. With the team losing the challenging non-conference games and dropping the toss-up conference games, I expect they'll struggle with the difficult remaining schedule. Certainly, that's a safe assumption. Why would you suddenly be competitive in the bigger, better games? Maybe BYU rises to that level. I don't know. But to me, the next two games is not about tomorrow night. BYU's got to win. They should win. They should win by more than two. Granted, KenPom nailed it at Utah. It's the Cincinnati game. I think the Cincinnati game Saturday is going to tell us a lot about where this team is. Because if they drop that one, it's like, oh, boy.
Well, it's another.
Team's in trouble.
Yeah.
They got to win both.
Yeah, and it's another home game. So, yeah, I mean.
Against a team that has struggled, that has a equal to or lesser record than you.
Right.
You hope to win those games.
Like, the Marriott Center needs to be that place that even when you have these high-profile teams. Look, because you got Kansas coming here.
Yep.
You know, you've got all of these high-profile teams coming.
Yes.
This needs to be a place where BYU eats. Is at home.
Absolutely.
You got to feast at home.
Yes. Okay. Next home games. You ready for this? Cincinnati Saturday. Next Tuesday, just 8 days away. Baylor in the house, who will drop out of the top 25. They lost to TCU. Arizona after that. K-State. That should be a win. Kansas. West Virginia, who knocked off Iowa State, by the way. And then Utah. Buckle up. Marriott Center going to be pumping. Let's go. Michael Wisner won on X. Can't wait for next year. Demon needs to come back. Now, the way that Yegor Demon is playing, I hope that he plays his way into an even higher pick. He's still at number 9 as of, like, Saturday. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's not playing that great. Why would he suddenly – I think I'd turn my mic off. He needs to play his way into the lottery.
I think I just nope, we're back. There we go.
And
can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Okay. You're good.
It's crackling in my ear. He needs to play better to ascend in the lottery. But would it be the worst thing in the world if suddenly he came back next year and played with AJ?
Well, look,
that would not be the
worst thing. Let's remember, he's also said, he never said I'm a one and done player.
Yes.
He has said that.
Yes.
He's said, I've never said I'm here for 1 year and
my
I'm
bad.
Done.
My bad.
So let's coming from him, straight from his mouth.
Wouldn't be the worst thing. He and AJ,
that'd be fun.
That'd be pretty good.
All right. BYU basketball with Kevin Young returns Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time on the BYU TV app as Coach Young recaps the Colorado game and looks ahead to Saturday's matchup with the Bearcats.
Coming up, Cross Country hangs out at HQ. Details after the break
as BYU Sports Nation continues on March.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day, how have your expectations for BYU men's basketball changed? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. CJ Wildboy on Instagram. Okay, I thought at this point BYU would have 2 or 3 losses, not 6. We have talent, just not the chemistry yet. That is certainly the idea, is talent, talent, talent. Yes, but it's got to come together, and they got to produce more wins.
Yeah, and that's what Coach Young said. You know, they're still trying to find these right combinations that work, especially down the stretch.
Yep. Today's Rise and Shoutout, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about this? Cross-country teams meeting with Elder Rasband and Elder Christofferson to celebrate winning the national championship. How awesome is that?
The men and the women won, and so both teams were there, and that's awesome. Congratulations.
That's so cool.
To both teams, Delgie Taylor, Ed Eyestone, and everybody. My neighbor, Ryan Waite, assistant coach. Those are some cool pictures, cool interactions. They said they had a great time up there in Salt Lake.
That's awesome. And what a cool experience.
The fact that you can just go and hang out, let alone you bring in some trophies. You're like, hey, look at this. Pretty good, right? Our thanks to today's guest, Blaine Fowler.
All right. The conversation continues 24-7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows are on demand. You can find them at BYUSN.com.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, who would have caught that two-point conversion. We ran out of time. For Jason, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Trevor Brent. Check out BYU Gymnastics in the Best of Utah Meet tonight, 8 Eastern on BYU TV. A lot going on today. Go Cougs!